discernment. And it's time to obey. Time to obey. Talking about the discernment that we need to have in order to discern the difference between the clean and unclean, and between right and wrong. And we'll be going to Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. Unlawful teachings corrected. Discernment. It's time to obey. So this is Stephen Yah on YahvahYahweh.name. And in the book of Malachi, it's going to be toward the end of the so-called Old Testament, right before Matthew. To establish a basis for our understanding. And it's in chapter 3, as we have said. All right. Yahweh says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. Talking to you, to the nation of Israel. For you shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith Yahweh. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve Yahweh. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance or his feasts? What profit that we have kept his feasts, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another. And Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before them, for them that feared Yahweh, and that thought upon his name. Not upon his common name, but his name, Yahweh, Y-H-V-H. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. So there is a mount of judging that is needed there. You could also see John 7:24, when Messiah himself told them, judge, righteous judgment. Or see Psalm 58:11 there. So as we move on now, that is it time to obey already? Leviticus chapter 20, or Vayikra chapter 20, verse 26, from the King James Version, and changing the common words. And you shall be Kodesh, or separate unto me, for I am Yahweh, am separate, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. I have separated you from the peoples to be mine. And, on one hand, my notes say that it was from the King James Version, but it also says from the Hallelujah Scriptures. So that is one that I will recommend, the Hallelujah Scriptures and the Tree of Life Version as well. Well, this rebellious tribe of ours, the tribe of Ephraim, all over the world, deserves the abominations, in my opinion, and the curses if they reject the Messiah and his Torah. The Torah in the New Testament, there are 1,050 commands in the so-called New Testament. But they say, we only have to love the Father and our neighbor. We only have to do two commandments. But the two commandments are summaries of the entire law, to love Yahweh and the neighbor. They're not replacements for his law, as we know. And what is love, by the way? We will go to and put some meaning into this from the Greek. In the book of John, and I see I failed to make that note there, 1 John 5, 2 and 3. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. By this test, we know that we love the children of Yah when we love Yah and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yah, that we keep His commandments. And that word commandments in Greek means precepts and the law. It's Greek word 1785. That we love His commandments and keep His law. And His commandments are not burdensome. And the word burdensome there, or grievous, is Greek Strong's word 926 in the Strong's Concordance. There's 1 John 3 in this King James Version here. Boy, somebody wore this version out. What is all this marking and highlighting? Well, there, okay, thank you. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren, and he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of Yahweh, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of Yahweh in him? So we're speaking about, first of all, about our brother and our sister, our close brother in Yahweh. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So this agrees with the book of James, that faith without works is dead. Indeed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, Yahweh is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward Yahweh. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Messiah and love one another. Here at Yahweh, we have researched the name of Yahusha. Yahusha and Messiah. And there's a lot of research the people have done out there. But in the Hebrew, Yeshua, of course, as anyway, that he gave us this commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Yahusha Messiah, or Yeshua Messiah, and love one another as he gave us this commandment. Not just attempting to keep the commandments of Yahweh, but by the Ruach HaKadosh, or by the Spirit of Yahweh, we are keeping his commandments. And in Psalm 119, if we know and keep Father's Torah of love, the commandment of love, we shall even know more than our teachers. Psalm 119, 99, and 100. It says, I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And the precepts, or feasts, the precepts include the feasts. The scriptural feasts are a blessing. On the other hand, and not to be offensive to anybody, but as a matter of information, a point of information here, that man's holidays of Halloween and New Year's, with its riotous origins, and usually carries through to today, New Year's and Easter, going out and hunting for the fertility symbol for that Easter egg, for that, it's not a rabbit egg, no, it's supposed to be a chicken egg, and so that is considered an abomination to partake of those things. Galatians 4 and Jeremiah 10 describe the idolatrous abominations of those man-made holidays. And we can't put down the people, we can't even, some of the leaders, no, we can't even judge some, we can't judge anybody, we can't judge anybody for their position in Messiah, whether they are saved or unsaved. We can only judge their actions and their doctrine. Yeah, we won't go over there and look over and say, my doctrine is better than theirs. No, we don't do that either. No, we compare Scripture with Scripture. Who has the truth? Those who have studied Yahweh's Word from cover to cover and know the harmony of the Scriptures and the different teachings. And you've looked up each and every one of the Scriptures pertaining to a particular subject, then you will know Yahweh's law and the law of love and His truth, by knowing everything what the Scripture says. Sooner or later you'll learn it. The Scriptures, from cover to cover, are not that huge, that not voluminous. Anyway, it's not that big that we can't read it all and digest it, even in a short time, perhaps a half a year, perhaps a year, perhaps several years. Huh? Forever means forever, and Yahweh tells us that his feast days and his laws are forever. But those of us who reject the invitation to Yahweh's feasts, like the feast of Passover, the feast of first fruits, of Shavuot, or the feast of tabernacles, the feast of Sukkot, or tabernacles, those who reject the invitation are like the uninvited guests that are mentioned there in the book of Matthew. No one will force your arm or drag you to be as they object, to be under the law, inheriting the curse, keeping Jewish feasts. No one is going to drag you and force you. In fact, if you are, somebody is forcing you to be under the law, they're forcing you to sin and break the law, not to keep it. So being under the law is coming under the curse, inheriting the curse. So we don't want to go that way. We want to go the other way, towards Yahweh and towards his righteousness. And not that pseudo-righteousness that some claim, well, I'm righteous because I have Messiah living in me, but that it will live inside and reveal itself on the outside, of course. And our hope is only that we compel others to come and gather in Yahweh's appointments for a real convocation and be filled with the Ruach HaKadosh. The feast days include the Sabbath, first mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. That is the first place of mention about the Sabbath day in Genesis 1, when he rested on the seventh day and set apart that day, or sanctified it, it said. Hebrews 4 in the Brit Kadashah, Hebrews 4 reaffirms that the Sabbath is still in the present time. And those, those preachers who want to say that there's different dispensations, well, we're in the same dispensation or period of time that the writer of Hebrews was in, and we are still in that period of time. We're looking forward to the future of keeping Yahweh's Sabbath days. Isaiah 65, 66 refers to a certain time in the future when all will go up to Jerusalem and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, that one is Zechariah 14, but in Isaiah 66, from one new moon to another, or from one month to another, and from one Sabbath day to another, shall all flesh come to serve Yahweh. Hebrews 4 says, therefore, there remains a rest to the people of Yah, or the people of Elohim. He specified a certain day, that Sabbath day. He spoke not of another day. And then back in Romans, back here in Romans chapter 8, it warns us that those who reject Messiah are in rebellion. They are not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. And then back to the book of Psalms. All right, Psalm 19, and you could read it all. And the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. And Psalm 119. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. For all thy commandments are righteousness. Every one of the righteous judgments endureth forever. His commandments and statutes and judgments are forever. How long is forever? That's a long, long, long time. And I think the scripture says something about 100 generations. Or so. Anyway, it comes out to, I did my math, it came out to 40,000 years. So we've only made a mark of 6,000 so far into that 40,000, but I think it's going to go on for eternity. Forever means forever. So our discernment from reading the Word, that's where it comes from. It comes from knowing and living the Word. And, by the way, you would refer to us as a messianic congregation. Messianic, though, includes all those who are of the belief of the Scriptures and walk in the Scriptures about Messiah. And they are being grafted into that good olive tree. that doesn't include Israel, that is actually Israel, Romans chapter 11, the good olive tree. So it is high time to praise Yahweh and to walk in righteousness. But the prophet says in Jeremiah 8:18, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is it not Yahweh in Zion? Is not Yahweh in Zion? Is not her king and her? Why have they provoked me to anger? So this has got to be the father is speaking through his son. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not Yahweh in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. So the harvest is past, summer is ended, and it is high time to praise Yahweh. The rest of that there says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. And then in the King James it says, I am black, or actually means I am in desolation. I am in desolation. Though it doesn't refer to a color of a person. I'm in desolation. Or an astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no, so it should be, is there no doctor in the house, or doctor there, in Gilead? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Yes, we need not only good physical health and stay in shape, but good practical spiritual health by encouraging one another in the scriptures, and that's why we are here today. But, and be warned that there are things going on. Easter time coming up there, people in connection with the goddess Ashtoreth in Jeremiah chapter 44, for example, and even in Jeremiah 7, but okay, this passage here in Jeremiah 44, starting at 16, written by Jeremiah again. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yahweh, we will not hearken unto thee, the people said. As for the word that Jeremiah and all of his admonitions, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will certainly do whatever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. We'll do our own thing. And to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. A religious ceremony going on here. Burning incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out, you know, who is the Queen of Heaven? And all that, yeah, a lot of us came out of that background. And to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, and we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and we were well off, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings to her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her? That's like hot cross buns in today's tradition. Did we not make cakes to her to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Then Jeremiah said unto the people, to the men and to the women and to the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, and your princes, and the people of the land, did not Yahweh remember them, and came it not into his mind, so that Yahweh could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as it is this day. Because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against Yahweh. Yes, sin is still sin. And have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh, nor walked into his Torah, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore this evil has happened unto you as this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of Yahweh, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. And I urge you to read the rest of that 44th chapter of Jeremiah, or refresh it, and let it seep down deep into your spirit, into your heart. Because Yahweh's word is ready to be revealed in this last time. So, turning to 1 Kefa now, in the New Testament here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For those of you who are not quite into these terms yet, Kefa means Peter. 1 Peter 1, 5. And the associated surrounding scriptures there that might give us an idea of the context there. And verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Messiah, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, you are the elect according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh the Father, through setting apart or sanctifying of the Spirit unto obedience. Obedience to what? Yes, obedience to the word and to the law. And to the sprinkling of the blood of Messiah, favor or grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And then verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of Yahweh through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The last time is right now, we believe. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and esteem at the appearing of the Messiah. Yes, this is ready to be revealed in verse 5 once again. You're kept by the power of Yahweh through faith unto salvation. You are kept ready to be revealed in the last time. Are you ready? Ready to be revealed? Well, the high priests were not. Back in 2 Chronicles 30, I'm not going to read it, but the Kohanim, or high priests, were ceremonially defiled, and they had not been keeping Yahweh's commandments, statutes, and judgments. The Moedim, the feast days, the Feast of Passover here. So in the second month of that year, they were allowed to keep the Passover in the second month, just for the exception of this feast only. And so you can find that in 2 Chronicles 30. For the people of Israel, Yahweh's people, had repented, and the priests were now being going through the process of repenting and being forgiven by the Father and preparing themselves there at 2 Chronicles 30. So that's a lesson to be learned there, and certainly would be a message in itself. So I'm not going to cover that today, but we will. Oh, we didn't go on to another one in Peter. Excuse me, Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Since that's adjacent here to what we just read in 1 Peter 4:17 now. And so backing up to a verse before that. Yet if any man suffer as a believer, and you could look that word up there. It says Christian in the King James. So it'd be good to look that up, or look it up in the Tree of Life version, or in the Greek lexicon. Let him not be ashamed, but let him magnify Yahweh on this behalf. And we should look up the origin, the roots of that word Christos there, and the word Christian, but we won't right now, because we've already done that many times. So reading it again, if any man suffer as a believer, let him not be ashamed, but let him magnify Yahweh on this behalf, for the time is come. The time is right now. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first began at us, what shall be the end of them, or what shall be the result be of them that obey not the evangel of Yahweh? And if the righteous are scarcely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So it's high time to come out of worshiping the false gods. And we probably still have a few idols in our lives, either symbolic or one way or another. Some people say the TV is an idol. I think it's worse than that most of the time with the stuff that comes off on the screens there these days. But there have been some good shows, some good Christian shows that came out, to their credit. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Shaul says, "This I say, brethren, the time is short." 1 Corinthians 7:29. Then in Colossians 4 and Ephesians 5 talks about this. Colossians 4:5. And making the corrections as I read along here in Ephesians and Colossians 4:5. Okay. Just about everybody is there, so I'm going to take off. You could pause the MP3 here on Yahweh Yahweh if you're not quite ready yet, and then have it go ahead. Push the play button after Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, and let your speech be always with unmerited favor, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer, and you ought to answer every man. Boy, that's good admonition there in the fourth chapter. He also says in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Okay, now let's go back to Ephesians. Yeah, good, please. Ephesians 5. Now there's Philippians now, but back to Ephesians 5:16, and read a few verses out of that to try to get the whole setting. So in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. See Isaiah 8:20. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this Torah, it's because there's no light in them. So then, back to Ephesians. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Messiah shall give thee light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We may pray that Yahweh will bless us with our management of our time and managing our households and so on. And then finally another scripture from the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 5, about time. It is time to obey Yahweh. It's time to use some discernment in thinking about things and having a world view. It's also time to come, not only to come out, but it's time to obey. It's time for some action to willingly and lovingly follow in Messiah's steps and follow Paul as he followed Messiah. Okay, here we go now, Revelation 1:5. And it says, from Yahushua Messiah, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto Yahweh and his Father. To him be esteem and dominion forever and ever. But where is this now? Verse 2, Revelation 1. Oh, okay, I skipped it. Verse 2, who has record of the word of Yahweh and the testimony of Messiah and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And then we might go to this at the end of the program about discernment and about our time, but let's go there now since we're in Revelation 22. Let's go up to 22 verse 10 perhaps. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is, or the person that is Kodesh, let him be Kodesh still. And that means to be separate or pure. Kodesh is separate or pure. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. It doesn't mean you're saved by works. These are talking rewards. Messiah is talking rewards here to you. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Aleph and Tav, that should say in the Hebrew, or in the Greek, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do, not just hear, but do his commandments, or what's another word for commandments there? Ordinances, principles, prescriptions, precepts. It's a Greek word 1785. That should be nomos. And it's the same as what is used in Mark chapter 10. Moses wrote to you this precept. The law, the principles, prescriptions, or commandment. Here it is used, how it is rendered in the Revelation. Revelation 22:12. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. There we go. The opponents of Yahweh and the opponents of his word, the devil, and those who just, those who are very rebellious, or those who don't even know any better, the opponents of the law and the feast days, first attempt to cast some doubt on the teachings, or the teacher himself. They demonize the teacher of truth, and they call themselves prophets, and they say, if they are a prophet or a preacher, they'll say, a prophet can only be corrected by someone who has equal or greater status. Thus, they are completely uncorrectable by most believers, because we may not have a state license that shows that we, you know, come up to their level of being a exhorter or elder or apostle or preacher or something. We have to have all these credentials to show them, you see. Yes, you did. Okay. But anyway, that's, first of all, they'll try to demonize the teacher of truth. And then perhaps they will accuse the true teacher of having a, quote, religious spirit and, quote, accuser of the brethren. The religious spirit is generally applied to anybody who attempts to ask questions. You become painted as someone who is stuck in the old wineskins. They'll use this expression. You're someone who is stuck in the old wineskins, but their lack of understanding of the word, the Torah, all the scripture is apparent. And why are they calling the Torah old Jewish bondage? Why is Torah written in the scriptures? But why is it falsely called old Jewish bondage? Bondage? Well, maybe it's just because they don't know any better. Maybe it's, you know, don't blame them, blame the devil. He's behind, he's the deceiver and the blinder, the deceiver of the brethren. So we can't always blame all of these people. We can't judge them for their motives, but we can judge their false doctrine and their actions. If they are a leader, if they're going to be my leader, then they're supposed to measure up to the standards in the scripture, in the book of Titus and the book of Timothy, you know, like they have to be the husband of one wife, and so on. there, as we know. You're listening to YahvehYahweh.name on the internet. Stephan Yah with part two of this program, Trust and Obey in Yahweh. It is time to obey. It will be going to Deuteronomy 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yahweh, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. Also see 6:1. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their Elohim, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars, etc. This tells us how to worship Yahweh. That if we are worshiping Him in another way, we are serving some other Elohim, whether it be ourselves, somebody else, or some figurative, some statue out there, or some religion, some strange religion. It does say here in regarding worship or love in Deuteronomy chapter 6, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your Elohim commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess, that thou mightest fear Yahweh thy Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as Yahweh Elohim of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is one, and thou shalt love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. I have been reading from Deuteronomy, or Debarim, chapter 6. And before that was chapter 12, on how to love Yahweh, how to worship Him. And he also said in chapter 12, verse 12, you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim, you and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and your maidenservants, and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which Yahweh shall choose in one of thy tribes. There thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I commanded thee. Praise His name. Well, we've been at Passover and enjoyed a very unusual the weather constantly changing. We had strong snow and winds being driven horizontally. It was very beautiful as it came across the lake. And then it would be a changing, since this is the time of year for the weather quickly changing. It would change to rain and then sunshine and then back to snow again. And I guess it's still doing that here after Passover. We had a very successful time. We had people from all over the world attending there, albeit only a few. But anyway, it was a good fellowship. We had studies there, doing the Passover studies, the tests and exercises that are found for Passover, for the feasts, at Giving and Sharing, or giveshare.org. And it was beautiful worship. And a convocation up in the mountain snow. The Passover exercise test provided by Giving and Sharing Ministry gave us alertness in the spirit of Yahweh, to be alert and circumspect about our world around us, what is going on there, and about the word of Yahweh, to be alert and to obey that. And, oh, by the way, we are speaking about another ministry in Oregon, in Bend, Oregon there, who made a false accusation recently that our Passover is not the same as the Passover of Messiah's time. Well, I would contend that it is. It is one and the same, the one that Messiah has said, do this in remembrance of me. We had the foot washing at the on the 14th of Aviv. We kept it on the very same day, albeit 2,000 years practically since Messiah has been on this earth. And we kept it in the Spirit, in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. We, like Paul, who said, therefore keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Certainly we have to have that sincerity and truth, according to Yahweh's word. Even though there's dozens of interpretations sometimes about the head coverings, we're going to go over that a little closely. Maybe not here on this website, but we went through 1 Corinthians 11, and their interpretation there at the feast, for the most part, was that the covering was a scarf or head covering that would completely cover a woman's hair. But there's dozens of interpretations. Perhaps no one is correct, and so the earlier truth on coverings are found in Scripture, in Exodus 29. That is probably, let me see if I can find that here for you. Okay. Well, I'm looking at it, but I don't see it. But anyway, it tells us how the head covering should be. And, oh, here it is, in 29.9. Okay, I just didn't turn the page there back far enough. 29.9, and thou shalt gird thy, and this is speaking to the Aaronic priesthood here, Aaron and his sons, and thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, also interpreted as covering and turbans. The bonnets and the priest's office shall be theirs for perpetual statute. Thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. See also Ezekiel 44. And the passage in 1 Corinthians 11, if Paul, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, is saying that we're that for a man to wear a covering is, how does he put that there? He's not he shames himself if he wears a covering. Well, here it says it's a beautiful thing to wear the covering. I don't know where that is here. I think it's somewhere in this chapter as well, in Exodus 29. I don't see it, but anyway, it does say that it's giving for I think it used the word glory there, and a beauty for them to be putting on the covering. And then for Paul would have to be, if we were to take that, is that we're not to wear a covering, that it dishonors the men's head, but it honors the woman's head. Then that's confusion. So I'm not saying that there's all kinds of contradictions. We don't know what but regarding the hats, Paul says, when there are contentions about it, we have no such custom. So let's just let it go. Where the Scripture is vague, we need to be vague. Where the Scripture is clear, we ought to be clear and teach it and be obedient. But there's just so many interpretations about that. And it would be the last priority in my mind as to what our behavior, what our carrying out the halakha should be. We don't want to get into takanot, into tradition of a Jewish tradition or Christian traditions that are not scriptural, that some of them are not scriptural, that is, or some are Russian or any other tradition, which is adding to the word of Yahweh in worship. Some were saying if the women didn't wear a hat, they wouldn't be allowed to come in and pray. Well, that's not in Scripture. It doesn't say that anywhere. Also, concerning touching and tasting things, which are to perish with the usage. I think that's probably Hebrews 13, But let us be concerned, as Messiah said, concerned with the weightier matters of the law, sin, righteousness, and judgment, mercy, and do not forget how we are to love Yahweh and our neighbor. So it becomes to the point where we keep adding traditions and putting bondage on people, things that are not in the Scripture, not anywhere in Scripture. So be careful about that, of touching and tasting, which things are to perish with the usage. I think that referred to that men were not supposed to get married. They were supposed to remain celibate if they were especially going to be in the ministry. But that was never commanded either in Scripture. You know, we sometimes, I guess we don't have anything else to do, so we come up with these things. Come up with these taconote traditions. Stay away from that. And I'd like to recommend again that Tree of Life version, the Scriptures called the Tree of Life. Presently, even though it's a newer version, and very, very accurate, similar to the King James, only, and they did, unfortunately, or sadly, rather, use the word Adonai to replace Yahweh. But other than that, they really clarified a lot of things. And as if they were going back to the lexicon, the Hebrew and the Greek lexicons, and really getting the real, true meaning from things, and really straightening things out for us. The Tree of Life version. And then here's a booklet, Yahweh, Your Jealous Husband. Actually, it was G-O-D, Your Jealous Husband, but I call it Yah, Your Jealous Husband. And written by Gerald Nunn, N-U-N-N. And it was quite a, and it's on our website. We feature that book in places where I make quotations from it. Yah, Your Jealous Husband. So maybe Google that, and maybe some of you can get a hold of that book, and also the book Freedom Under the Law, mostly about feast day keeping, and is written by Bill Schultz of, I want to say Tennessee, maybe it was Kentucky, and it's by Hungry Hearts Ministries, Freedom Under the Law, and that one is featured on the archive page of our website, YahwehYahweh.name. And I wanted to play for you several beautiful songs. I'm unable to do that for several reasons. But Keith Green had a beautiful version of the 23rd Psalm, Yahweh is Our Shepherd. And the beautiful 23rd Psalm by Keith Green. Oh, it's very inspiring. Also, the group and albums and cassettes, Scripture and Song, which we use here in our worship time. Then there was a secular song that came to my mind as I was out praying and trying to get a message for today, by the Sandpipers. It was a secular song called Come Sabbath Morning, only they called it, of course, by the common name, Come Saturday Morning. And although I don't know, you know, each and every word of what the true meaning of that is, I don't think they were violating or defiling the Sabbath. They were not profaning it, but they were making it more profound. A beautiful song, Come Saturday Morning, by the Sandpipers. I think the year was 1970. So this program was called It's Time to Obey Yahweh. And we have many reasons for that. We want to obey Him in spirit and truth. We want to call Him by His name. But some are not aware of the true scriptural name of Yahweh, YHWH. So we want to pass that on to him if possible, as well as the Messiah's name. Sometimes I just use the term Messiah to avoid any confusion. We know that in Hebrew, Joshua or Yahshua is used, and also referring to the Messiah, many use from the Hebrew, they use Yeshua. From the Paleo Hebrew, incidentally, Mr. Ingram demonstrates that Israel is the land of Yeshua, he says. Israel, according to the Paleo-Hebrew mindset. And, of course, as I did the research on Shua, looking up in the lexicon, Shua meant crying for help, but that was using modern Hebrew. But that's under Messiah and the name on our website. So the Paleo-Hebrew for Messiah, the Paleo-Hebrew letters for Messiah here are Yod, Shin, Vav, Ayin, A-Y-I-N. Yod, Shin, Vav, or possibly G-I-N. In modern Hebrew and Strong's Concordance, 3091, Yod, He, Vav, Shin, Vav, Ayin, for Yeshua. Actually, I think 3091 is that's the Father's name, but Shua, 7775, Hebrew word, is Yod, Ayin, He, which does not match 3091, Yahavah in any way, nor the Paleo Yod Shin Vav Ayin. But what it is not, we need to study a little bit about this. Messiah's name is not Yod He Vav Shin Vav Ayin. And some of you who are not recognizing Hebrew at all or Hebrew letters, just skip ahead in the podcast if you like, or just kind of... stay in there for just a moment here as I briefly go through this. But what it is not, Messiah's name is not Yod He Vav Shin Vav Ayin, A-Y-I-N, or in Strong's Concordance, 3091. Now, Dr. Lee Ingram, there it is, an old friend of mine from the Shalom area of Oregon, Lee does not endorse the Strong's system research, Strong's concordance research. Oh, and he further says that Messiah's name is not Yod He Vav Shin Ayin, nor Shin Vav Ayin He, or Shava. And Shua is Yod Ayin He, Strong 7775. As we have researched earlier, and Yasha, to be saved, is Strong's 3467 in the Hebrew. 3467 from Strong's Concordance, Yod Shin Ayin. Yasha, to be saved. Well, here is a link, and here is also an email address if you want to contact Dr. Lee Ingram. Lee@joyintorah.com. Now, there's a dash in there. Lee@joy-intorah.com. Go to another website here, Paleos. I was going to say Paleos Philosopher. That's not it. Paleosopher.com. That's www.paleosopher.com. And that'll give you some accurate study in Hebrew. Also for dedicated believers, Lee recommends a comprehensive etymological dictionary of the Hebrew language for readers of English, the Hebrew edition hardcover. Let me see if I can pronounce that again. The comprehensive etymological dictionary of the Hebrew language for readers of English, Hebrew edition hardcover, 1887. That's January 1887, by author Ernest Klein, with a K, K-L-E-I-N, sometimes referred to as the Red Book, priced from U.S. dollars in 2014, from $90 to $150 on Amazon.com. That's the Red Book, and that would be very helpful to know that, well, here's a map. Out here, let's get this map out here then. And Messiah's name is found neither in Joshua, according to Lee, nor the word used there in Hebrews 4, But for the land of Israel, the Messiah's name, he said, Joshua, Yahshua and Yeshua are not the name, or not the same as Yahshua in Paleo. And then his comment also, Israel is the land of Yeshua. And then on this map, from north to south, Lee wrote, West Bank, Judea, which is a Z in Paleo, and Shemaron, and that's a W, and next to the Y later, and then Gaza represented by the Ayin, A-Y-I-N. Excuse me. Yes. So, Israel, this is the land of Yeshua, and the Paleo-Hebrew for Messiah here is Yod Shin Vav Ayin. In modern Hebrew, Yod He Vav Shin Vav Ayin for Yeshua. And then I mentioned earlier there are a few problems there. Oh, and then also there's the chart, and I have this listed on our website, Yahweh.name, under Messiah. Messiah's name in Paleo with assistance from Paleosopher, PaleoSepher.com. Paleosopher, or Paleosopher, I guess. Presenting new and contrasting research of Messiah's name, according to a Torah observant follower of the Messiah. Lee Ingram spoke to me at Sukkot 2014 at Canby, Oregon. And regarding Messiah's name, describes the land of Israel, the complete land of Israel is found in Messiah's name. Now, here is the four columns, English, Hebrew, Paleo, and Phonetic. First column is the English speaking, such as Judea. And second is Hebrew, such as Yod. Third is Paleos, such as a Z here. I'll just Z, W, Y, and a circle with a dot. And then the phonetic column here is how to pronounce these words. The Z, the Paleo Z, with Yah, the W with Sh. The Y, the Paleo Y, with the oo sound, and the A-N, or G-A-N, a circle with a dot, or ah, Yahshua, is how they conduct their study there. And then in Hebrew, Yod Shin Vav Ayin, speaking of the Messiah's name. So that might have been a little confusing there, but anyway, it could be something interesting for you to do. And what we don't want to do is, first of all, start arguing about things, or discussing anyway. We don't want to start discussing things we really don't know that much about and putting them ahead of other things that we do need to do, to have in our priority of believing in Yahweh, repenting of our sins, of being immersed, or they say baptized. Sometimes they use the wrong word, the wrong Hebrew word for that, but we need to, yeah, and here again, here now I'm doing it, making a big issue about, you know, what we should call immersion. So I shouldn't do that. Now repent. There you go. Okay. And serving Yahweh, serving Him. Things are tough enough out there in the jungle of confusion and competition, as people are pushing and shoving and giving us a hard time. And making laws that destroy other people's lives. A song there called Freedom for the Stallion by the Hughes Corporation said that making laws that destroy other men. And what a terrible sin, I think, was also in the song there. And attending Yahweh's feast days is part of loving Him and obeying Him and worshiping Him as we follow the commandments, statutes, judgments, and precepts given to us by Yahweh the Eternal through Moshe, or Moses, and magnified many times throughout Scripture by, you know, Isaiah and different prophets there, and by our Messiah Himself, and especially in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. And I'll finish with that too, but let's go to, Matthew 7, and then the last part of that, and the early part of 8, I think would be good. to finish up this program about it is time to obey Yahweh. And then, of course, we have Paul's writings too. But we shouldn't run to Paul's writings at first. I think that should be somewhere after we have a basic understanding of the foundation of Yahweh's word. We have a foundation for our beliefs, and we've got it all set down firmly. We've read the Gospels. We know that there's no conflict. And then we go to Paul's writings. We can go to Galatians and understand the law of circumcision, the law of sin and death, the temple, the Levitical temple sacrifices spoken of there by Paul in the book of Galatians and Colossians as well, I think, but especially in Romans 6, 7, and part of 8 there. There's a conflict if we don't understand the law or understand what it really is, the Torah, and we don't understand the different laws that are being spoken of. The Levitical temple sacrifices are often referred to there by Paul in the New Testament, not the Ten Commandments, the statutes or judgments, certainly not. It's inconsistent. It's inconsistent to say that we don't have to worship Yahweh on the Sabbath day. I mean, come on, that's in Genesis 1. That's in the Revelation. That's in Hebrews chapter 4 in the newer scriptures. So let's hear this from Messiah himself, and speaking to even messianics today, speaking to all kinds of believers, spirit-filled ones, hopefully you and myself, spirit-filled by Yahweh's word, by his truth. And no, I can't read it all. I guess you could turn on a good tape or read it for yourself. But Matthew 7:18. Okay, we're talking of false prophets here in sheep's clothing. But verse 18, a good tree, Messiah said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Praise Yah. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Speaking of our spiritual works, I think. Also, possibly of some of us who are not intent on loving Yahweh in the first place. And verse 20, very, very important. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, don't go around judging everybody, what they're, being a fruit inspector, but we can judge each other's actions. That's all right, to evaluate our own and others' behavior, spiritual behavior, that is. Verse 21, after he said, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, or Yahweh, Yahweh, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Yahweh, Yahweh, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity or lawlessness. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it didn't fall, for it was founded upon a rock. Sometimes, and most frequently, we refer to the rock, or Messiah as the rock, is our rock of salvation. And then back again, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his home upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so it came to pass when Messiah had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Yes, coincidentally, Messiah is the one who is the Word, who gave us all these scriptures, cover to cover. Chapter 8, and Matidiyahu, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Master, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Messiah put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. Let him put his hand upon our minds today and clean it up. You know, take out the world. Take out the media. The media of Hollywood. The media of Christianity. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed, and Messiah said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. Of course, that isn't talking to us. We don't have that priest. We don't have Moses with us. And when Messiah was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Yahweh, my servant, lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Messiah said unto him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered, and said, Yahweh, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do, and this, and do that, and so forth. And he doeth. When Messiah heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Yet I say unto you, that many shall come out from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Messiah said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And so his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. That's the Evangel of Matthew, chapter 8, and down to verse 13. And we're moving up to higher ground with Yahweh. Let's fellowship again next time here on YahvehYahweh.name. And please drop me a note, I ask, and ask how you'd like to hear this program. What would sound better to you? And so, until next time, so long. Hallelujah and Maranatha. May Yahweh come quickly. Praise unto his name, unto Yahweh.